You're listening to the Live Free Now podcast, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. Find us online at livefreenow.show. And now your host, John Bush. Welcome, welcome to yet another edition of the Live Free Now show, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. And today we're going to be talking about freedom and essentially freedom from the rat race that is politics. And I really want to hammer home why it's important for we activists, we change makers, we radicals, we innovators, why it's important for us to chart our own course and to be proactive rather than reactive in our pursuit of freedom. We're going to talk a lot about coming up with goals, coming up with plans, coming up with big picture plans and goals and sticking to them and not getting caught up in the politics of the day in a reactionary way. Hey, 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 we just may, the state will slay. All right. So first, before we do that, I want to invite you to go to livefreenow.show, livefreenow.show. We broadcast this program live on the Conscious Resistance Network and the Live Free Now Facebook page and the John Bush Live Free Now YouTube channel. And then we download it, mix a little audio, and post it as a podcast. So if you want to follow along the podcast, livefreenow.show, I strongly encourage you to do that. One thing, thankfully, they can't take our RSS feed away. We reach a lot of people through the Conscious Resistance Network, and I want to invite you, if you're a fan of the Conscious Resistance Network and the work of Derek Brose, myself, Danny Panzella, and others on the network, be sure you follow at BitChute, Library, all sorts of other stuff, because big tech censorship may take this away. But one thing that can't be taken away is my podcast feed. Derek also has a podcast for the Conscious Resistance. So go to livefreenow.show to check that out. And I also want to shout out our sponsor, Brave Botanicals. You can get a free ounce of kratom, helps with chronic pain, relaxation, stress, and anxiety. Check that out at freeounceofkratom.com. Here's what that looks like, the website there. Check that out. You can get a free ounce. Just pay $5 shipping and handling. This is what kratom looks like. It's a powder, pain relief, addiction, stress and anxiety, energy and focus. It's a game changer. A whole lot of testimonials too. Even I need to add, I get testimonials all the time about how this has completely changed people's lives and helped them to find more balance and peace. And if you're watching us on the Conscious Resistance Network, be sure you go to bros.freeounceofkratom.com, bros.freeounceofkratom.com, and that way the Conscious Resistance gets a little piece of the action. All right, so the context for today's podcast and show is we have an election taking place right now, in case you hadn't noticed, in the United States of America, a presidential election. Every 4 years, the people of America, the voters, I guess, get all worked up and antsy and frustrated and anxious. And there's a whole big to-do about choosing the next ruler of this country. The excitement has been amplified because one of the Supreme Court justices, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, very liberal justice, she passed away. And what this means is that the current president, Donald J. Trump, has the opportunity to rush in and fill the Supreme Court vacancy before the presidential election. And boy, people are sure worked up about this. I want to make the case today, as an activist, as an anarchist, that we shouldn't concern ourselves with presidential elections or congressional elections, city council elections. And we shouldn't concern ourselves with who is going to be appointed to the Supreme Court or not. Now, this also, I would like to encourage people, if you're not, if you don't consider yourself an anarchist, those who believe we should organize society without a hierarchical coercive government, or if you're not an agorist, a revolutionary market anarchist who chooses to participate in alternative institutions and create counter economies outside of the scope of government, If you're just a run-of-the-mill activist, maybe you're an activist for peace, an activist for equality, social justice, an activist for truth, or if you're a libertarian activist and you still engage in party politics and all that stuff, I'd like to encourage you to consider an alternative path towards achieving those goals, right? So people have different ends, the goal, where they want to go, where they would like to see society go. And there's several different paths on how to achieve those ends. There's several different means to achieve those ends. And there's two distinct classes when it comes to strategies and means. One of them is a political strategy, political means of achieving your goals. And again, I'm going to be talking mostly in the context of a libertarian or someone that values individual sovereignty, free markets, whatever. I'll try to make this as apolitical as possible as far as your political classification, right? This will be anarchism, anarchy without hyphens, as Carl Hess wrote. But even if you're not an anarchist and you just have these different goals, you can take a political path towards achieving those goals, which is involves voting, electing candidates, lobbying, putting a bumper sticker on your car to vote for your guys, supporting political parties, whether it's Libertarian Party or whatnot. And then there's a non-political approach, which involves direct action or the creation of alternative institutions or engaging human beings and trying to have a cultural change as far as the way people think, right? Because oftentimes where people are at, government lags behind, right? The perfect example of all of this, one thing I want to say real quick is this mostly applies to radicals. There's radicals on the left, there's radical libertarians, there's radical anarchists. If your goal is to tax the wealthy people more and to have greater equality and to use government to stop environmental damage, then maybe the Democratic Party is your best vehicle, right? Or maybe politics, maybe there is a place in politics for you. Or if your goal is to uphold traditional values and make government just a little bit smaller, right, then maybe the Republican Party is for you. But I mainly want to talk to people that are radical innovators that want to see a dramatic shift in the way we organize society, whether you're a leftist or a left libertarian or a libertarian anarchist or voluntarist or whatever. That's mainly who I'm speaking to. But I guess it doesn't apply to folks that are just in this little window, right? Because there's all these different outcomes. There's all these different ways we can organize society. And there's all these different policies that we can have as far as how we relate to human beings, right? And it's like huge window of stuff. But the Democrats and Republicans and the Libertarian Party, too, is this little itty bitty window of how things should be, right? And so I'm going to get off on a little tangent, maybe try to convince some people to avoid the politics, even if they're more mainstream. And so there's this little itty bitty window. And everybody thinks that even though a Republican's in office now or a Democrat's in office here, there's going to be some sort of dramatic change all of a sudden. When in reality, even though this is my left hand for you viewers, this is my right hand, even though there is a Democrat that's elected here, Bill Clinton, for example, then there's a Republican elected here, and then another Democrat here, and then Republican. Maybe this one's a little bit more conservative. Maybe this one's a little bit more liberal. It always stays within that window, right? Tom Woods talks about the 3x5 index card of acceptable opinion and thought. And it's like, if you step outside that 3x5 index card, the media will label you a kook or a quack or whatever. Well, politically, it's the same thing. And this is one of the big reasons why if you are a radical, if you want a dramatic change in the way we organize society, the election in large part is irrelevant, because no matter who gets in office in this presidency, there's still going to be a Federal Reserve Bank. There's still going to be foreign wars of aggression, maybe to a different degree. Still going to be an income tax. The federal government and the bureaucracies are still going to be entirely bloated and completely just insane and intervene into your life. You know, I should do a whole podcast and video on Trump. I'm not a Trump fan, although I do recognize that Trump is a departure from, so he's a departure, but he's not a departure, right? He still believes in government. He still rammed up the debt. He still engages in a variety of different authoritarian measures, right? but he represents a departure in that he is not part of the Bush, Clinton, Obama, right? Even the Obama administration was Clinton, right? This whole Bush-Clinton phenomenon, which is this classical neoconservative Anglo-American establishment elite, Wall Street-backed, backs the foreign wars of aggression, military-industrial complex, globalization, right? It's just the classic Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, Bilderberg Group. It's the agenda, right? What many refer to as the globalist. That's what we've had in this country, even when Ronald Reagan, who again was supposed to be this departure from that, right? But he wasn't. He had George Herbert Walker Bush, which is like the consummate insider, former head of the CIA, total Illuminati type guy as the president, right? And then before that, Carter had the Trilateral Commission's Zbigniew Brzezinski all up in the administration. So Trump, at least, while he's not perfect in the least bit, he's definitely not a liberty guy, and liberty and freedom is really important to me. He at least represents a departure, even if in name only, from that what they call the deep state or the shadow government or that little cabal, that little clique. And so he's still with his policies, right? I mean, he's spoken out against the Federal Reserve. That's a benefit. He reduced taxes considerably from before, but it's not like Ron Paul, which is like end the Fed, end the income tax, end the Department of Education, right? So at least he's speaking out against it. But nonetheless, if you are like me and you desire radical change, a radical departure from the status quo so we can have genuine freedom in our lives, then you shouldn't be satisfied with that, right? Same thing with the Supreme Court. We have this U.S. Constitution that created this separation of powers. I'm doing air quotes for the podcast audience. Separation of powers. In reality, it's all just three different heads of the same beast, maybe four heads when you include the mainstream media, right? The executive, the judicial, the legislature, and then the mainstream media. And this system, it's sold to the public. It's sold to you in public school that it's supposed to be this checks and balances, separation of power, but nothing could be further from the truth. The Supreme Court just basically rubber stamps here, rubber stamps there. But even when it's, even if it's the liberals and the conservatives on the court, it's still within that same little channel of status quo, right? It's the channel of normalcy. And so when everyone focuses so much energy, time, money, resource on this little channel, it doesn't leave time for changing the game entirely. And so to get back to proactive versus reactive, right? You know, there's this book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. And the first habit is to be proactive. And he talks about being proactive. You're basically in control of your destiny. With emotions, for example, there's a lot of people that are highly emotional. I used to be highly emotional, and that emotion was anxiety, stress, and anger. And I was reactive to those emotions. I was a slave to those emotions, essentially, right? A reactive paradigm is where something happens, a stimulus, and then you get triggered, and immediately you're like all hyped up, and those emotions are in control of your faculties and the way that you behave and the way that you relate to your other humans. Well, a proactive human being, a stimulus happens, maybe it's a fight with a significant other, and you have an opportunity. Covey talks about the special place between the stimulus and the response, where you have that magic window of mindfulness where you can be proactive, right? And so to expand upon that, and that's on an individual level, but to expand upon that for the purposes of our activism strategically, when you're in a reactive paradigm, your time, your efforts, your organization, you are reacting to the agenda of your political opponents. In this case, as a libertarian, we, Albert J. Knox said, our enemy, the state, right? So our political opponent, our enemy is the state, that coercive institution that exercises a geographic monopoly on the initiation of violence. When one party's in power, it forces everyone else in that geographic area to do things against their will, whether they like it or not. That's the state. That's our enemy if you are a liberty lover. And so when you're like focused on, okay, we got to spend all our time, We got this big bill that's being introduced into the state house that's going to allow the police to do this checkpoint and allow this for blood draws and allow that for tracking this and tracking that and criminalizing this or that, right? That's not to say that there isn't some value in slowing the size, the growth of the size and scope of the state. But if we only focus on that reactionary paradigm, our entire destiny, our entire activities, our entire course of action as activists is dictated and determined by our enemy. And if we find ourselves entirely in a reactive paradigm where we're only responding to the enemies of liberty, to our political opponents, then we never have the time or the fortitude or the forethought or the foresight in order to really carry out some big changes. And so that's the reactionary paradigm. We got to make sure that Joe Biden doesn't get elected because he's a socialist and he's going to let the radical left take control. Or we got to make sure that Donald Trump doesn't get elected because he supports white nationalists and he's an authoritarian fascist or whatever. And so all your energy is focused on, whoa, this is all crazy. Oh, there's a new Supreme Court opening. Whoa, we really got to focus on all this. Or, man, this bill got introduced. We got to focus all our energy. So what I would challenge you to shift the focus, just look, yes, that's going to affect your life. But at the end of the day, whether Biden's president or Trump's president, there's still going to be a whole lot of civil unrest, just of a different brand. There's still going to be a whole lot of authoritarian measures, right? You're not going to have a dramatic increase in freedom. So I want to encourage you to focus on the long game, not the election of the day every 2 to 4 years, not who's going to be the latest Supreme Court nominee, none of that. Focus on the long game. So rather than asking the question, what can we do to engage politically and lobby and change the politics, change this legislation or this election, ask yourself, what can we do big picture, long term, to ensure that we're able to create an environment where our values can thrive, where we can live free? And I think the best way to do that is through alternative institutions, the creation of alternative institutions. And if you are an anarchist or a voluntarist and your goal is a stateless society, then the best thing that you can do is be proactive and start building the foundation of that society right now. It's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of hard work. That's why voting is just such an easy way out. It's like, oh, man, I want to do my part to create a better world. So come November, I'm going to go down to the ballot box or mail in my ballot, and I'm going to vote. And I'm going to feel good about myself, and I'm going to have made a difference. That's so low investment, low risk. That's why not everyone does it, but that's why people do it. It's just like, oh, yeah, I voted. I called someone, called my congressperson. I told my aunt and uncle to go out and vote. I got them to go out and vote. And it's like, that's weak, man. It's the real power comes in the bigger picture change, in the radical change, right? Radical means like to strike the root of the problem. And so if we want to bring about a stateless society, then rather than engaging in the state, always just reacting, we ought to start building that society now and adopt a long-term, a bigger picture view. You know, a great example, so let's talk about civil rights and equality and racism, right? And so an example of how all this works. There has been racism in America for quite some time, right? From the institution of slavery, and then after slavery, the Jim Crow laws and segregation, especially in the South, right? And this is a very big problem. Well, there were activists that were trying to change this for decades. And a lot of people were going to the government, the federal government, trying to pass a bill to all of a sudden create no racism, right? You can't legislate away some sort of societal or cultural problem. But there are people that were trying to pass the Civil Rights Act and other bills. I don't know what the earlier predecessors of the Civil Rights Act were called, but the strategy was, let's basically beg our rulers in order to do the right thing to create equality. Well, along came Martin Luther King and other folks that began engaging in direct action, right? And they understood rightfully that in order to bring about change in government, then they needed to focus on a cultural change and essentially make such a big stink, create so much discord and discomfort through their freedom rides and their sit-ins and their protests and Selma and all this great stuff that took place across the South. And they did that. And they basically called the question, which is a term from the political days, from Robert's Rules of Order. When you're like, I call the question, then you force a vote on something. No more debate. And so they basically called the question and they're like, all right, you guys are going to allow this type of segregation and inequality to take place. Then we are going to storm the buses. We're going to sit in the restaurants. We're going to disobey the colored only, whites only signs and all that stuff. And they did. And it got massive coverage. It sparked a national conversation. And it was only after that direct action took place that the government caught up to the will of the people. I say that in quotes because for you podcast listeners, I guess I need to start distinctively doing that for the podcast listeners. But I say it in quotes because a group of people doesn't have a will. Individuals have wills and their choices and their drive and their individual, you know, motivation and direction that they go, but a group can't. So I say that in quotes, but it was pretty clear that people in mass were fed up with the segregation laws. And it wasn't until Martin Luther King went out and took a radical approach, a direct action approach, that there was change in Washington. Now, quick note, I subscribe to private property rights, not necessarily the Civil Rights Act or the Voting Rights Act. I would like to see the entire institution, the system abandoned. But if there is some restaurant owner that wants to keep out whoever, whatever group of people, I would say that that person has private property rights, and the proper tool to address that rather than government coercion from atop would be to boycott, to educate people, to picket. And these guys are racist. They kicked out a black family recently and then just boycott and picket it. Maybe there ends up being some small towns in deep in the South or whatever that are still racist. And it's like, well, let's just get the hell out of those towns. We don't want to do business with them. We don't want to do commerce. I don't think racism would get so far, popularly, right? People would be like, okay, that's a racist group, whatever. At the end of the day, you can't use government or politics to root out racism. That's a cultural change that needs to take place. And that's one of the things that Martin Luther King was doing. So I just wanted to point out that distinction. Historically, people were saying, no, Martin, you're being too radical, right? He wrote the letter from Birmingham jail when he got arrested for civil disobedience. And in that letter, he points out, you know, that he is a radical and that people wanted him to shut up and slow down and do it the proper through the proper channels. Well, there's so much injustice taking place, not only with racism, but with government coercion in mass, that I don't think the proper channels are the avenue that we ought to be participating in. If your goal is a free society, the best thing you could do is create that free society now by creating alternative institutions, right? Another example with the End the Fed movement. It's like, we want to end the Fed. We want to end the Fed. And then every single one of your transactions is using Federal Reserve notes. That's not doing anything to end the Fed, right? We need to audit the Fed, HR 207 or whatever it was that Ron Paul brought up. I gave a speech, I think it was back in 2009 or 2010. It was like, if you really want to end the Fed, then you need to limit your use of Federal Reserve notes and start trading in alternative currencies, right? And throughout my history, I've taken that advice on my own and tried to do silver dimes, and cryptocurrency came along. I was like, wow, this is exactly what we've been looking for. I'm not 100% pure on that regard, in that regard, because I have a business and all sorts of stuff, paying money, paying cash. But I do still try to use cryptocurrency, accept cryptocurrency for my business. And if more people were to simply opt out, try something new, it would have more of an impact. We don't need to wait around for the government to catch up and do the right thing. We don't even need to wait around for the public to catch up to the idea of freedom and radical decentralization. We can go ahead and start doing those things ourselves. And so that's the message today for you activists, for you liberty activists, anarchists, even left radicals. Real quick, this just popped in my head. You know, Martin Luther King used direct action in order to bring about a political change and a cultural change. An institution came along called the Black Panther Party. And now one of the things, and then you also had the Nation of Islam and Malcolm X, right? And Elijah Muhammad. And one of the things that differentiated these groups, even from Martin Luther King's approach, is that they started creating these alternative institutions and parallel institutions such that the Nation of Islam, they wanted to have their own nation, right? That's why we call the Nation of Islam. You have the nation state of the United States of America. Well, they wanted to have a Nation of Islam and have the, and there was all these black separatist movements that are taking place. which I'm all for it. Like, I would like to see society decentralized to the point where people can have their little city state or a little compound here or there. It's even taking place in Georgia, a family, like 10 or 11 families, all African-American. They all chipped in and bought 100 acres. And they're going to create their own thing. That's an emphasis on the Black community, right? I don't know if they go so far as saying no white folks are allowed or whatever, but if that's what they want to do on their own private property, then by all means, right? And so you had Martin Luther King, which is a departure from we need to go to the politics and we need to elect people and we need to lobby and that's how we're going to bring about change. He said, no, we're going to call the question. We're going to engage in direct action, civil disobedience, and we are going to show the world the injustices and the inequality that's taking place in the South of the United States of America. That influenced LBJ and everyone that actually pushed through the Voting Rights Act. Well, in an even more radical sense, the Nation of Islam, Malcolm X, Black Panther Party. The Black Panther Party, they started building these alternatives. They're like, we're not getting access to healthcare. We're going to create our own healthcare community clinics. We're not getting access. We're not being defended by the police. In fact, we're being brutalized and oppressed by the police. We are going to arm ourselves and we're going to patrol the community to make sure that our Black brothers and sisters don't get harmed. You see how that works? That's taking it one step further. That's taking it all the way to proactive. They saw a problem, police brutality, inequality. Rather than wait for the people in power to fix things, or rather than wait for the general public to be like, oh, we do recognize that there's quite a bit of racist these days and racism, and maybe people could do things a little bit differently and change the way that they view their fellow human beings. They're like, no, we don't have time for that. There's injustice now. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So we're going to build these alternative institutions. We're going to defend one another, right? We actually had Bobby Seale, who's co-founder of the Black Panther Party, come to an event that we hosted with the Peaceful Streets Project and gave this awesome speech and told these stories about like pulling out shotguns, right, in cops' faces and stuff. And it's a very powerful thing, but it's a very powerful lesson. And I think that is the proper approach. Again, it's not about reacting to the politics of the day. It's not about Joe Biden or Donald Trump. Both of them are total ass clowns. And both of them aren't looking out for your best interest, right? You know, maybe they are looking out for a certain constituency that's okay with that little 3x5 index card of acceptable policies, right? They're okay with foreign wars of aggression. They're okay with taxation. They're okay with federal government intervening in all sorts of business, right? And Trump's okay with that too. It's just a different brand, right? So maybe there's a constituency for that if you're down with this little channel. But I'm not down with this little channel. I want to see a radical departure where people can live their lives according to their own ends, where we can experiment with alternative means of social organization, where businesses and technology is allowed to flourish and innovate, and we can try out some new radical things without having the FDA stop this natural plant-based medicine or radical innovations in the realm of medicine. You got to get your license and you got to have the FDA approval, blah, blah, blah. We want to do away with that. New business opportunities. We want to do away with all of the red tape. We want to create an environment where human beings can live to their full potential without the statist institution trying to control them and hold them down. And the only way to get there is by going ahead and doing it now. And it's going to take time. It's going to take hard work. And there's more risk involved, but, you know, like Thomas Paine said, that which we obtain too cheaply, we esteem too lightly. And the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. And I genuinely believe that holds true to what it is that we are trying to achieve today. So before I finish up, I'm going to hit some comments real quick, but I also want to do a pitch for the Freedom Cell Network. So I'm not just talking about all this stuff like, hey, we need to create our own alternative institution and all sorts of stuff like that. We're actually out there doing it. We've created the Freedom Cell Network. It is a decentralized peer-to-peer network that all centers around the foundation of a group of 8 people. Oh, we're having problems on the site. All right. So like I said earlier, it's not always pretty. The member map doesn't seem to be working right now. But we're upgrading the site, doing all sorts of stuff. You can join the site at freedomcells.org. And when you pull up the map, you'll see that there's a whole lot of people, over 4,000 people that are participating. It all centers around this inner cadre group, a mutual aid group, mutual defense group. You work on mutual goals, 8 people. Then you encourage the creation of other groups of 8. Before you know it, you have eight groups of eight all working together in concert, communicating with one another, making decisions together, investing money in property and whatever, supporting each other's businesses. Then you can have eight groups of 64, right? Eight groups of eight. You have your group of eight. You have eight groups of eight. Then you can have eight groups of 64. It's like 544 people all working together in concert, whatever. It doesn't all look exactly like that, like this clean, unique design where it's eight here, eight here, eight here. It's happening organically, but we are creating an alternative institution, an alternative framework, an alternative social organization that's not top-down hierarchy control. It's freedom, voluntary, mutual benefit, helping one another, helping our fellow human beings. And the idea is, let's go ahead and start building this foundation right now. So as time goes on, we're adding to the foundation, we're strengthening the foundation, we're innovating, we're creating these little subgroups. There's little industries and businesses and services and mutual aid community organizations that serve the group as a whole, right? And we just adopt a long-term picture. What's that phrase, like Rome wasn't built overnight, something like that? We can't expect to just go vote for somebody, JoJo Jorgensen, the Libertarian Party, and we're going to have freedom. We got to get out there and get our hands dirty and build the free society that we all deserve. And if we don't, if we just focus on the election of the day and all our energy there, like for me, I see it as entertainment. Like I'll watch some Donald Trump speeches and I'll be like, damn, I can't believe he said that. Oh, I love it when he gives a hard time to the fake news. This is great. Oh, it's so hilarious, right? It's entertainment. I'm not like, oh, yes, Donald Trump. Oh, Joe Biden, you will save us and you will bring about the world that we all desire and protect us from the other. There's all this it's all this insecurity and fear of the other that's really fueling a lot of American politics today, this identity politics and this right versus left and this black versus white and Black Lives Matter and Antifa and anarchists and boogaloo and white nationalists, all this bullshit that doesn't even matter. Forget about all that. Let's focus on this over here. Let's focus on building and creating rather than criticizing, complaining, condemning, destroying, and freaking crying and whining. Ain't nobody got time for that shit. All right. I want to invite you again to check out livefreenow.show. This has been the Live Free Now show. We are going to just go through some of your comments real quick as we end the program. Kratom is a lifesaver, says the Eerie Fairy. Yes, Kratom literally has saved a lot of people's lives. It's super duper, super effective, and it's helped a lot of people to get off of drugs, which is super cool. I'm conditioned to take a vote. It's not all bad. It's money that corrupts. I don't have a problem with money personally. And I consciously choose not to have a problem with money. Money benefits me. Money is a medium of exchange. I don't support the Federal Reserve Bank and the Federal Reserve notes that empower foreign wars of aggression. But I do like wealth and providing value to people in exchange for money. I do believe that money doesn't create happiness, but having money makes it easier to pursue happiness. So I need to do an episode two. There's a lot of comments here. I think a lot of them are coming from the conscious resistance where people just always say money's the problem. Money's the root of all evil. Money's what's corrupt. Money's bad. Money's bad. And I have a feeling a lot of these people that have this mindset about money, money's bad. Money's evil. Money's corrupt. That you're literally building a wall around you, a wall between you and money. And like money could be flowing in or money's out there. There's tons of money out there. You know, wealth is everywhere. And it's like, hey, we want to go party with this guy over here. We want to go check him. I'd like to spend some time in his wallet. And then you're like, money's corrupt and money's evil. And you're literally dispelled. You're like, you go to the sixth grade dance and you stepped in dog shit in the lawn on the way into the school. And you are just totally dispelling the young ladies that would maybe dance with you. It's the same thing with money. Money's corrupt. Money's evil. It's okay if you feel that way. You have every right to. But I'm telling you right now, you're scaring money away from you. And perhaps some of the reason why people think money's so evil and so corrupt is because they've struggled throughout their life to attain money. And now they have a negative feeling towards money that they're projecting on money, when in reality, it's more of an internal struggle with themselves and creating value or wealth, or they were told a story about money in their upbringing. Money was a source of fighting with their parents or whatever. So now they have a bad taste in their mouth about money. I don't know. I digress, but I need to do a whole show on that because I love money personally. I'm registered with the Human Party. Vote Human. That's right. I don't know if that's an actual party or whatever, but I don't like the Republican Party, Democrat Party, or Libertarian Party. I prefer the after party. I'm going beyond voting and standing behind a man. I don't know. I think that might have been a joke, but I missed me that one. It's a false left-right paradigm, Democrats versus Republicans. That's right. I'll throw the libertarians in there, too. They're sticking with the status quo quite a bit. A lot of libertarians are just Republican light. The international banking cartel picks who gets every office in every country, even local. I don't think that the conspiracy goes so deep that the local dog catcher or the city government in some small town in West Texas is picked by the international banking cartel. I don't think that they have that much power. They don't have that much control. They don't have that much influence. But when you do have influence and control over the top, you know, the top down, the power centers of society, then you don't necessarily have to be so integral in all of the smaller decisions. You can change the culture, like the Rockefeller Foundation, for example. They're not engaging in the local candidate office, although George Soros seems to be engaging in district attorney races, but they can still have a huge influence on society in the course of history by throwing their money around here, programs there, international, this, that, or the other. Can't bring myself to vote for president of the United States, that's for sure. I'm with you, man. ANCAP, voluntarist, libertarian, I'm all that. Don't know the difference, really. Libertarian is like someone that believes in the non-aggression principle. It's political philosophy, free markets, voluntary exchange. And it all stems from the non-aggression principle. A consistent libertarian will apply that across the board and find that you can't be a minarchist that believes in a minimal government, because in order to have taxation of the existence of government whatsoever, you have to violate the rights. You have to initiate aggression against someone to pay for it, to fund it all, even if it's a night watchman state that does police, security, and justice and the military. Right. And then an anarcho-capitalist is someone that's an anarchist. They believe in a state society, and they believe rather than having a government or a state, we should have a capitalist system that meets the wants and needs of people. And that's what helps to fulfill the common wants and needs, capitalism. And then a voluntarist is simply someone that believes all human relationships should be voluntary. So there's a lot of overlap. One can be all three. One can be a voluntarist, but not an ANCAP. Right. So it's just all words. At the end of the day, it sounds like you don't want to force your views upon other people. So, good man. All righty, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Before we go, I want to encourage you to subscribe to the podcast at livefreenow.show. You can find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, all that stuff. Thankfully, they're not as big tech censorship on the podcasts. Maybe the program's not as big as it could be, and then they'll start cracking down on us. But so subscribe to the podcast, livefreenow.show. And then if you're watching us on the Conscious Resistance, you got to go and follow along on BitChute and Library and Minds and all these other channels. You can go to theconsciousresistance.com, theconsciousresistancenetwork.com. And old Derek Bros and our wonderful web guy, Neil, they set up this little setup here where you can follow on all these different channels here. So we really need you to follow us on these alternative channels, because big tech censorship is running amok and they're censoring exactly the same kind of stuff that we have. And the Conscious Resistance Network has a pretty big reach. So it's probably not a question of if, but when. So follow me on my podcast if you like what I have to say. You can subscribe to my personal YouTube channel. It's not as big as this one, so maybe it'll last a little bit longer. But there's a lot of great content out on the Conscious Resistance. So if you're watching us here, make sure you subscribe on those other channels, those other avenues. Follow the podcast. Bros put together a Conscious Resistance podcast feed as well. I'm not exactly sure how to access that, but we'll share it with you in the future. And then again, our sponsor for today is freeounceofkratom.com. You can get a free ounce. Just pay $5 shipping and handling. As you can see, it's helped some of the folks in the comments. Helps a lot of people. What do you have to lose? $5 for shipping, and we'll send you this free $15 ounce to try. And if you're checking us out on the Conscious Resistance, be sure that you use this link, bros.freeounceofkratom.com, bros.freeounceofkratom.com. We'll get that sent out to you. All right, just to recap, ladies and gentlemen, today we presented the idea that if you really want to bring about change in society, the best thing to do is to think proactively, not reactively. We have a presidential election taking place between Trump and Biden and Jojo Jorgensen. A Supreme Court vacancy just happened when Ruth Bader Ginsburg, aka RBG, passed away. Everyone's worked up into a frenzy. I'm here to tell you that this doesn't matter. If Trump or Biden are elected, it's not going to make much of a difference in the grand scheme of things. Maybe if you are just, you're okay with the status quo, you're just a little bit frustrated about this or a little bit frustrated about that, then maybe this is for you. But if you're a radical, if you have a moral objection to the very existence of government, an institution that forces people to do things against their will, they don't want to have anything to do with it. If you're someone, if you think that abortion is wrong and then you're taxed and you got to pay for abortion, that ain't cool. If you think that it's wrong to murder people in foreign lands that never did anything to hurt you, but you're forced to fund it as well, that's not cool. If the local police department just smashed on your cousin and put them in the hospital because they thought that they were a suspect in a crime they weren't even involved in the least bit, just because they fit the bill, and you still have to pay for that police department that just put your cousin in the hospital, or your fiance, or your brother, or whatever, that's not cool either. If you are somebody that thinks we as humanity can do better than the status quo, and you think that we haven't even begun to experience our full potential as free, beautiful, powerful human beings, then I want to encourage you to be proactive, to go ahead and start building the society that you hold in your head, that you dream about, that beautiful society of permaculture, intentional communities, no hierarchy. People are innovating and they're just access to all sorts of radical, natural, plant-based health medicine, no more reactionary medicine, no more reactionary government, no more us versus them, because people are free to live their lives. If that's what you think about, that's what you have a vision, then I invite you to start building that now, even if it's small baby steps. Voting's low risk, voting's weak, voting ain't gonna change anything, right? If voting really made a difference, they'd make it illegal. So join us as we build the society that we all deserve right now as the state crumbles around us. All right, John Bush, peace and freedom. Oh, there you go, Derek Bros throughout the Conscious Resistance podcast right there. You can follow that link there in the comments on the live feed. You can have all sorts of good stuff there. Follow us on these places that aren't getting censored or taken down. All right, this is John Bush. Live free now. Peace and freedom. I'm out. Thanks.